I want you to picture this morning some people up here on the platform. One person is a murderer. The person beside him is a polygamist. The person beside him is an adulterer. We got it over there. Let's go over here. This person is a womanizer. And right beside him, I want to get a lady up here, is a woman of the night, a prostitute. If I were to ask you, what do these five people have in common? What would you tell me?
Sin.
They're big sinners, aren't they? Mm-hmm. But they've got something else in common. What else do they have in common?
They need the Lord.
What?
They need the Lord.
They need the Lord. Amen. They need the Lord, that's for sure. They're all found in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith. Moses was a murderer. Jacob was a polygamist and a schemer. David was an adulterer. Samson was a he-man with a she problem. And Rahab was a harlot. They're all found in the Hall of Faith. Take your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. These people all were found in Hebrews 11 because they did exhibit faith. They were sinful people, like we are sinful people. But they exhibited faith. And especially, it seems like at important moments in their lives and in history, they had faith. They had faith. Today, folks, we live in a society. We live in a society where winning is everything. Yes. Winning is everything. You remember the old quote by Vince Lombardi, right? Winning is not everything. It is the only thing. And that's where we are today. Everybody wants to be in, and there's nothing wrong with winning. You know, there's nothing unspiritual about wanting to win. But when that becomes, that's the only thing, then that can be not a good thing. You remember, and most of us, I think, will remember. Some of you are too young to remember, but I think it was back in the 70s and 80s that the television program, The Wide World of Sports. You remember? And it always started the same way. The Wide World of Sports showed you different sporting events, but it always started the same way, right? They would show these people running and coming across the winning line and show you them getting into, winning a race, or maybe show a car race and the car coming across the winning line and the checkered flag, and they would say what? The thrill of victory. And then every time it showed this hapless guy coming down the ski ramp, remember? I felt so sorry for that guy. You know, week after week, he did this. Week after, you'd show him coming down the ski ramp, and he gets on, he loses balance, and he crashes through this pole, and boom, hits the ground. And the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Agony of defeat. All of us want that. We want the thrill of victory, right? Who wants to be that guy in the agony of defeat? But we live in a society where everybody wants to be in the winner's circle. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to be victorious. And no one wants to be that guy, the agony of defeat. Well, this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 through 40, we have the closing summary of the Hall of Faith. As the chapter closes, the writer, like a preacher who realizes it's quarter to 12 and he's only got done with one point of his four-point sermon, says, I got to rush to the end. I've got to rush to finish. And Hebrews 11 reviews all these great examples of faith in the Old Testament, but by the time he comes to verse 29, he's only made it to Joshua. So he's got to hurry to finish the story. Look at verses 30 through 32. Let me read these. He says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? It's 11:45. For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth and David and Samuel and the prophets. He's kind of hurrying to finish this story about faith in the Old Testament. But these last verses are very significant, folks. Very significant when it comes to faith. And in these last verses, verses 30 through 40, he shows us that faith doesn't always have the same results. Sometimes faith has a certain result, and other times it has another result. He reminds us it can have two very different outcomes in the lives of believers. And I want to look at this with you today because this is really important. First of all, faith has enabled God's people to experience great victories. Great victories, verses 30 through 35a. And in fact, faith has given God's people great victories by helping them overcome overwhelming odds. By the way, what's the odds? What's the odds of a team in the NFL this year winning the Super Bowl in 2020? Well, I went online. And I hate to say, the New England Patriots are favored. Boo. To win. There's 6-1 odds. The Browns and the Steelers, they're about the same. About the same. Depends on which ones you look at. 1 in 20 chance of winning the Super Bowl. I hate to tell you, and I'm looking at a Miami Dolphin fan. If you are a Miami Dolphin fan, the odds are 500-1. Sorry, David. That's what they say. But you know, there are teams in sports that have overcome overwhelming odds. Some of you, again, remember back in 1980, the U.S. Olympic hockey team. Do you know what, when they went into the Olympics, you know what the odds were for winning the gold? 1,000-1. And yet we watched, many of us watched, when they beat the Russians, the professional Russians. We beat them. Overcame the odds. Won the gold. But as I looked online and saw different teams, there was one team I had never heard of. It was called Leicester City. And they're a professional soccer team. They are in the Premier League, which is the highest soccer league in England. Highest soccer league. Well, back in 2015, just 4 years ago, the odds of them winning that league, winning the Super Bowl of soccer in England, their odds of winning were 5,000-1. And guess what? They won. You know, teams, some sports teams have overcome great odds to win. Do you know that's the same with saints in the Old Testament? Some of the people in the Old Testament, man, the odds were against them. I mean, they were overwhelmed. They were like Leicester City odds. And yet they overcame. Through faith. Let's look at a couple of these. First of all, verse 30, Joshua at Jericho. It says in verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. You remember what God told Joshua. He said, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. I want you to circle, get all the people together, circle the city one time a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, I want you to circle the city 7 times. Then I want you to shout and blow the trumpets, and I'm going to knock the wall down. Now, what's the odds of that? I'm going to tell you, folks, that makes no sense. I mean, to ordinary, worldly people, what in the world? And yet, you know what? Joshua believed God. You know what Joshua did? He had faith. Faith takes God at his word. That's what faith is. And they did it. And what happened? The walls came down. Amen? The walls came down. You know, it's interesting. When Linda and I were in the Holy Lands, we went down to near the Dead Sea where Jericho was, and we visited the excavations of old Jericho. You know what's interesting? I remember the guide saying this. He said, you know, a lot of armies would attack cities, and they would come in with battering rams and everything and knock the walls down. And you know what? The walls would fall inward. But the interesting thing about the excavation of old Jericho, when they excavated it, the walls fell outward. You know why? Because God knocked the walls down. What's the odds? I'll tell you what. The odds were, it was a high-walled city. They were great warriors, but God gave them the victory through faith. And there's another person, Rahab. You remember, it says in verse 31, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. You remember how she did that? She had heard about the people of God, and she believed this God, this Jehovah God. She believed. And so she welcomed 2 spies from the people of God. And because she did that, they said, listen, when we come in to take the city, you put a scarlet cord in your window. You tie the scarlet cord in your window and get in the house, and you'll be saved. Now, interesting. Wait, tie a scarlet cord in your window. Where was her house? On the wall. What was God going to do with the wall? Knock it down. So I picture all the walls got knocked down except that one wall where her house was. Now, what's the odds? But by faith, she and her family were saved. They overcame the odds. How about, let's go down a little further. Let's go down to Gideon. You see in verse 32, what more shall we say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon. I just want to, what about Gideon? You remember the story of Gideon. God came to Gideon and said, I'm going to use you, Gideon, to defeat the Midianites. Well, actually, the angel of the Lord came to him, and he was down in a wine press, treading out the grain in fear of the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, Hail, thou man of valor, thou mighty man of valor. And what did Gideon do? Who's he talking? Me? Yeah, I'm talking to you, Gideon. I am going to use you to deliver to the people from the Midianites. He said, let me fill you in a little bit here. I am from the least tribe, and our family is the least family of the least tribe, and I am the least of all my family. I'm the runt of the litter. And he said, you know what? You're just about weak enough that I can use you. See, you know what? Let me say this. God doesn't need your strength. He's got all the strength that he ever needs. He's omnipotent. You know what he needs? He needs our weakness. I got a lot of that. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of weakness. I can give him my weakness because God delights to take weak things and add his strength, and then he gets the glory, you see. And so he said, okay. And so Gideon gets the army together, 32,000. And God comes down and says, man, Gideon, What an impressive army. That's a great army. Too many. Tell everybody that's afraid, go home. 22,000 go home. I probably would have been one of those 22,000. They went home. So it leaves 10,000. So God comes again and says, Gideon, great army, 10,000. Impressive. Too many. Give them the lap test. Go tell them to get a drink out of the stream. And those that get down and, I won't even say, lap like a dog, send them home. And those that get down and cup and lap like this, that's the ones I'm going to use. So he's left with what? 300. 300 against the Midianites and the Amalekites. And you know what the Bible says about them? They were as numerous as locusts. They were as numerous as the sand on the beaches, on the shore of the sea. There's a lot of them. I don't know how many. Let's just say 100,000. 100,000 against 300. What's the odds? What's the odds? Leicester City odds 5,000 to 1 or greater? And God says, just take a little pitcher, put a torch in it, take a trumpet, blow the trumpet, break the pitcher, and I'll take care of it. The battle belongs to the Lord. And they start, and when they did that, the Amalekites and the Midianites started fighting each other, and they kill each other. And guess what? The man of God wins. I'll tell you what. By faith, he did what God told him to do. He did what God told him to do, and God gave him a great victory. Well, let's add one more. How about David? You see, down here it says in verse 32, Gideon, Barak, we could talk about him, Samson, Japheth, David. And I think of David and Goliath, and we had a great message on that back a little while ago. But I love that story. Don't you just love it? Because Goliath, you remember, he was how tall? He was as tall as a basketball hoop rim. 9.5 to 10 feet tall. He was so tall, he'd make LeBron James look like a little runt. I mean, I'm 3 foot higher than LeBron James. That's pretty big, right? And he was huge. I mean, his spear was as big as a weaver's beam. You know how big that is? I don't know, but it's really big. It is. It's big. And he's covered with impenetrable body armor. And he has a shield bearer out in front of him. He has a spear. He has a huge sword. And here's little David, a teenager. Never been in battle. Wet behind the ears. He doesn't have a sword. He doesn't have a spear. All he has is a stick, a couple stones, and a sling. Now, what's the odds that he's going to win? Well, I'll tell you what. When God's on your side, the odds are great. You're going to win. And by faith, David was able to overcome Leicester City odds. David, by faith, pulled off the upset of the century. That giant went down and God was glorified. I'm going to tell you, folks, by faith, God overcame great odds in the Old Testament. You facing some great odds? You facing something that, man, the odds are against you? Attack it by faith. Yeah. Believe in God. Do what God tells you to do. And I'll tell you, he can help you overcome those odds. Not only did he do that, not only did they have great victories overcoming great odds, but God gave them great victories, listen, to live righteously in wicked environments. Do you see down in verse 33b? Look at there, 33b. They performed acts of righteousness and obtained promises. Now, as we have already seen at the beginning, not all of people that were people of faith were righteous. Or lived righteously. They were sinners. But I'll tell you what, by faith, God enabled a number of Old Testament people to live in wicked environments and be righteous. This is important. Like who? Like Noah? You remember Noah in verse 7 of our chapter? Noah, you know what? Noah lived in a day, it says, where the thoughts of men's hearts were only, listen, only evil continually. Whew! Can you believe that? The thoughts of men's heart were only evil continually. That's pretty wicked. That's pretty wicked. And yet the Bible says that Noah was a righteous man. Listen, blameless in all his ways, he walked with God. Can I tell you what, folks? That's victory. That's a great victory. To live in a cesspool and to live for God and to live righteously and blamelessly. That is great victory, man. And that's the victory of faith. He did it by faith. I think of Joseph. You know, we have Joseph down in, and he was mentioned down in verse 22. You remember, again, he was abused by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery. He goes down to Egypt. Again, another wicked environment. The world doesn't change much. In fact, in the end times, it's going to be like the days of Noah. But he's down in Egypt, and he's in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar makes him the in charge of everything. He's steward over everything. He says, everything's under your control. And you remember what happened. You got to be careful. We've got to be careful today. Because there's a lot of Mrs. Potiphar's around. I'm telling you. And she comes to him day after day after day and says, go to bed with me. And Joseph, by faith, he resisted that. And he said, listen, my master has put everything under my charge. He hasn't withheld anything from me except you. And how could I do this great evil and sin against God? You see, the essence of sin, the essence of all sin, is it's against God. That's what the essence of sin is. And so he refuses. He refuses. Praise God for Joseph's. Amen. You see, how did he do? He did that by faith. He trusted God, and God was with him. God was with Joseph. I think of another one. I think of Daniel. I think of Daniel. And you remember, Daniel is carted off as a teenager to Babylon. And again, Babylon is another picture of the world. It was immoral. It was idolatrous. And you know, everybody knows, when in Babylon, do as the Babylonian. Oh no. Not for the man of God. And I love, and you know it, Daniel 1:8 says what? Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. See, it starts with the heart. It starts with me and you saying, you know what? I'm going to live for God. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to live by faith in God. And Daniel was in that environment, and yet Daniel did not compromise. He lived righteously for the Lord. And that's, you know what? That's a victory. Yeah. I'll tell you, the world we live in today, every one of us are going to have, temptations. You can't drive down the highway without looking at billboards and there's temptations. Whether it's sexual or covetousness, it's called the world. Yes. But by faith it says, They performed acts of righteousness. And they lived a righteous life in a cesspool world. Praise God. What a victory. And by the way, God wants to give us that victory. We have to do it by faith. And then faith was given great victories by helping people escape certain death. Look at verse 33. 33c. It says he shut the mouth of lions and quenched the power of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword from weakness, were made strong, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Shut the mouth of lions. That's who's he talking about there?
Daniel.
By the way, God didn't keep him from going to the lion's den. He was in the lion's den. He just shut the mouth of the lions. Praise God. Quenched the power of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, I don't like that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's their godly names, right? Hananiah, God is gracious. Mishael, who is like God. Azariah, God is my help. Well, I like those names. And they said, listen, you bow down to my image, or man, I'm heating that furnace seven times hotter, and who can save you from my, what God can save you from my hands? And don't you love what they say? We don't even have to answer you, O king. We don't have to answer you. But let it be known to you that we have a God who is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand. But if he does not, we're not bowing. Class, what is that? That's faith. Faith is obeying God despite the consequences. And they said, we're not bowing. And so what happened? They get thrown in the fiery furnace. And I just love it. And Nebuchadnezzar goes over, I'm going to watch them roast. And whoa. Weren't there three that we threw in? Bound? I see four in there, unbound, dancing around, having a party. Wow. And one looks like the Son of God. And I'll tell you what, if you'd ask Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, years later, what's the greatest religious experience you've ever had in your life? They say, oh no, the day we got thrown in the fire, because we met God there. See, they were by faith. They were walking by faith. And you know, when you walk by faith, even if you're in the fire, God's there. Can be the most wonderful experience you ever have. Oh, man. And then we do have to hurry here. So, got to speed on. It's getting there, see. That's faith. They escaped the edge of the sword. Elijah was delivered from Jezebel. Elisha from Jehoram. From weakness were made strong. God delights to do that, by the way. And verse 35a, and women received back their dead by resurrection. Elijah and the poor widow of Zarephath, and Elisha and the woman of Shunem. They received back the dead from the dead. Faith helped these people escape certain death, or in two cases, brought them back from the dead. What great victories faith brought to the lives of God's people. Oh, the thrill of victory. The thrill of victory. How sweet it is. And if the text stopped there, we might get the impression that if we just walk by faith, we'll always come out smelling sweet. We'll always come out in the winner's circle. But people, I'll tell you what, it doesn't stop there. It does not stop there. There's another very different outcome as people walk by faith. Faith has enabled God's people to experience great victories, but secondly, faith has enabled God's people to endure great suffering and defeats. Verse 35b through 38. There are times when faith protects us and from danger or takes us through that danger. And there's other times when faith takes us right into the mouth of the lion. Look what these heroes of faith had to endure. Look at verse 35. And others. You see those words? And others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. Word tortured in the Greek means to be stretched out on a rack and beaten to death. Not accepting their release. Probably that indicates that they would have just renounced their faith or just agreed to shut up. They'd have been released. But these men and women would not compromise. They would rather suffer and die than compromise and disobey God. Look at verse 36. And others experienced mockings, scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. I think of the prophet Micaiah, who Ahab and Jehoshaphat consulted about the ensuing battle, and he told them the truth, and Ahab said, put him in jail until I get back. And Micaiah said, you ain't getting back. Thrown in jail. I think here of Jeremiah, who's thrown down into a cistern, down into a mud pit, and he sinks down to his neck in mud and is left there. I think of how the faithful prophets who spoke for the Lord, how they were laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, ostracized. And they were, verse 37, stoned. Jeremiah was stoned. They were sawn in two. Isaiah, they say, was put in a log and actually sawed in two. They were tempted, Joseph. They were put to death with a sword, Uriah the prophet, Jeremiah 26, 23. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins and being destitute and afflicted, ill-treated, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes on the ground. And you know what? These were men of whom the world was not worthy. These were men and women of faith. And yet they were tortured, killed, mocked, ostracized. A different result of faith. Faith for some brought about great victories, great deliverances. For others, it led to persecution. So I want to make some observations, okay? Three observations quickly. First of all, this is a rebuke to the health and wealth gospel. Why these terrible results? Why did these people, why didn't they have the thrill of victory? Why did, according to the world's point of view, why did they have the agony of defeat? Why did they get put down? Why did they go down in defeat? I know. It was because they didn't have enough faith. That's what the health and wealth gospel people say. If you're not experiencing prosperity, if you're not experiencing a lot of getting, you give your seed money and man, God's going to give you all 10 times as much. And God always wants everybody to be healed. And if you're not healed, it's your lack of faith. Must have been their lack of faith. But look what it says in verse 39. And all these having gained approval through their faith. It wasn't because they had a lack of faith. It was because they were walking in faith. And when you walk in faith in the world, many times the world will hate you. The world will come against you. The world will persecute you. And some people who I've known who have been the strongest in faith have gone through the most severe suffering. I'll tell you what. This health and just look at the life of Jesus, right? His life is the greatest rebuke of the health, wealth, gospel junk. Whew. Secondly, God is sovereign in the events of our lives. And as we walk by faith, he will work for his glory and our growth. You see, why do some people, they walk with faith and victory and others have suffering? Why did Peter get released from prison and James got killed by the sword? What Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were they saved from the fiery furnace, and John Huss, the reformer, is burned and dies at the stake? Why at times do we experience great victories through faith, and other times we are called to endure great suffering by faith? The only answer to that is God is sovereign. He's sovereign in this. And he is in control, and he will work always for his glory and our growth and our good, ultimate good. Peter wrote his epistle to people that were suffering. Starts out describing our great salvation. And in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says this: in this, in our salvation, you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've encountered various trials. That the testing of your faith, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, he's working. Even through the trials, even through the pain and suffering that every one of us go through, he's working for his glory and for our growth. You know what his will is for us? He's going to make us like Jesus. He's going to conform us to the image of his son. And that takes trials. That takes, when you walk by faith and things come in, God is at work. I'm going to share something, and again, I didn't plan to do this, but an old song came to my mind. I've been reading through Job. An old song came to my mind as I read through Job. And it says this: sometimes when I am down, and I don't think that you are around, O Lord, feeling so sorry for me, when all the time you're working to see if, when I come through the fire, I'll come out shining like gold. Oh Lord, please don't ever stop working with me till you see I can be all you want me to be. Sometimes when I ask why, teach me then on you to rely, oh Lord. You surely know what is best. Teach me through confidence and strength I can rest. Then, fully leaning on you, my questions fall one by one. Oh Lord, please don't ever stop working with me till you see I can be all you want me to be. I am willing, Lord. I am willing, Lord, to be just exactly what you want me to be. You see, that's what God's doing in our lives. Amen. He's sovereign when it comes to these things. And when we walk by faith, sometimes we're going to have great victories. Amen. Sometimes we're going to have some suffering. But third observation, enduring by faith through suffering and setbacks is how we experience ultimate victory. You see, verses 35b through 38, do they really describe the agony of defeat? Oh no! They weren't experiencing. Now the world looks at it and says, loser. Loser, you're a loser. But I'll tell you what, they weren't going down in defeat. These people weren't losers. If you ask God, they didn't go down in defeat. They were actually winners. They were winners. They were successful. For God's word defines success as living by faith a life that is pleasing to God. And these men and women lived by faith, and they were willing to endure hardship. They would not compromise. And verse 39 states they gained approval. They gained approval. They obtained a testimony through their faith. And when all was said and done, and they crossed the finish line into eternity, God turned the agony of defeat into the ultimate thrill of victory. Wow!
Amen.
So, application. We need to live by faith. That's it. What do we need to do? Here's what we need to do, folks. We need to take God at His word. If God says it, you can take it to the bank. Secondly, we need to obey God in spite of the circumstances and consequences. It may not be easy, folks. It may not be easy to stand up in your school and give testimony and represent Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, faith obeys despite the consequences. And faith trusts in the character of God and lives by His promises. And you know what? If all these people in the Old Testament, before the cross, lived by faith, how much more should we live by faith? We're looking back at the cross. They were looking. You see what it says here? Because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. They were looking forward. They didn't. They saw this in the future. We know it's already happened. We're looking back. We need to live by faith. And if we do, one day, when we cross over the finish line, we're going to experience the thrill of eternal victory. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you so much. Lord, help us to be people of faith. Help us to live by faith, not walk by sight, not walk trusting in our own self or in others, but Lord, help us to take you at your word. Obey in spite of consequences and trust in your character. You're trustworthy and your word is sure and your promises are sure. Help us to be people of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.